Right.
Okay. Berg and I have gone over this conversation, and we picked out what we think are the most important points. So let me go down the points with you now, okay?
Fine.
We started out with you and Kai, and the first thing Liu did was apologize for Twin's behavior last night. And then we went on discussing the character of Ross Perot. And the points they brought up was the relationship of an academic with him. And they were very interested in his age and his potential future influence and in the discipline point and in the patriotism point. Then I went into the letter of credit idea, which they asked me to explain, and I did just as though I knew something about it. And so now, and they were very interested in that, so now we have two alternate plans on their desk. Then they went into the standing of Wallace in the Democratic Party. Up to now, they had always assumed that the Democratic nominee would be to the left of the president. And now, apparently, on the basis of Wallace's showing in North Carolina over the weekend, which apparently means that he's second in delegate standing now,
mm-hmm.
they're not so sure that that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, for the first time in talking with them, they went into some detail about Wallace's chances and so forth. Then they expressed real concern about my attitude regarding the delay. Now, at this point, Lee Duck To came in. He was had obviously come from someplace else, and he was preoccupied and worried and very different from his demeanor last night. But he also seemed very determined. He too, and it was at this point that he took up the conversation, was concerned about my understanding of why we couldn't move ahead now. He wanted to establish my continued availability and asked how long it would take for me to get to him in Paris from a notification to do so. And I said at the outside 18 hours. He never mentioned you, and we've been speculating as to why. He also said that they might have to endure some reversals. Went into some detail about what was the president likely to do. I'm reading Berg's notes here, and I just lost the word. they wanted to know. He said. What is this, Berg? Oh yeah. All right. Lee Duck To reiterated that he expected the issue to be settled by the November elections, even though they might have to endure further reversals. But that in no event, no matter what happens, would they yield to the American government. They might, and I began to read in to that they still might make some gesture to the American people through us, then. At least he left that door open. It was also my feeling that Lee Duck To was going to some trouble not to let Swede's impression be my last impression of a ranking North Vietnamese official here. So he left after about an hour. And then Kai took the lead in the conversation and asked the following question, which I spent some time answering. The first one was, how much power, he was trying to understand how much power Nixon has within the framework of the government. That is, was he free to do anything he wanted to do? And also, what kind of influence he had with the American people, and what would the effect of further demonstrations be, given the fact that there would be these demonstrations in case of some irrational act on the part of it. I said that there was widespread concern about the possibilities of escalation, but that I thought the effect of demonstrations would be further to help Nixon with most of the people who would react negatively to demonstrations. And then Kai expressed concern that our contacts together remained discreet, that there were elements in both governments that would not be happy about these contacts. And then I asked, where did that leave me? Did they want me to stay in Paris, to stay available? What did they want me to do now? And they said that they, as long as I was as available as 18 hours, they thought that it would be better for me not to be here. And it was at that point that Liu brought up their awareness of Sam Newell. They were concerned about the security of the arrangements that had been made. And I judged that one, they didn't want to run the risk of losing me when they might need me in the future, or that might somehow cause a stir that would embarrass them and us. Then Liu said that at an appropriate time, they could arrange to have an official call made by me to see Quezon. Then they said that in any event, there were not any prisoners for me to see in San Luis. So that summarizes the high points here, Ross.
Okay, on the letter of credit idea, exactly what did you present to them? Is this for that X amount for each man, a plan that involved all of the men, or just the sick and wounded?
I specified that we would be willing to deposit for their use after the war $30,000 for each man, and that we had arrived at that ratio on the basis of the cost of the equipment and the number they'd given us for the sick and wounded.
Right.
I said that this letter of credit was simply a confirmation that funds were available at the specified time in a bank that we would be willing for them to choose. Now, what I've said to Merv here is that I think one thing we could do now is possibly send them a letter explaining in detail just what this letter of credit is, and try to anticipate
questions,
but they seem to be satisfied with what I told them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned back when they were talking about me the matter of discipline. What? That one skipped me. I didn't.
Okay.
Discipline related to what?
All right. They were very. They didn't know how old you were, Ross. So they apparently thought you were a lot older than you are. And they wanted to know just how was it, you know, that a man at your age who had spent so much time in military service could be where you are today. And I said that it was a matter of intelligence and discipline. And earlier I had said that you had given credit to your military experience in teaching you discipline and so forth. And then I said that quality in you was one that I had also observed in them, and therefore I thought that you had that in common. And then I went on to say on this next point here, the patriotism point, that I also judge them to be patriots, and if they would understand your patriotism, they could simply, apply their feeling for their country for you toward yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that impressed them. I always know when I impress them because they just sit for a minute and don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they never tried to, the thing that in their press and what have you, you know, I'm always some sort of a puppet of the administration or something. And that they're not probing in that area anymore.
Well, they did make one probe, they made one comment about it. And that is that they had, in effect, come to trust me.
Yeah.
That they therefore assumed that through me they could trust you.
Sure. That's right. I got you. Okay. Now, I still don't know happened in the Security Council meeting over here today. And it may just be that I've been busy on other things. It may be in the news now. I just don't know. So I don't know what new developments we have over here. And maybe all the early talk was just press talk. I don't know. But have you come up with any? We've got several ideas, Ralph, and let me just run them past you,
okay,
in the hopes that they'll start your mind working, and you'll come up with one that will get us some action. One thought is to see if we could unilaterally go ahead and install one Hemolog. Now, no commitment on their part for anything, but it accomplishes these things. Number one, it shows our goodwill.
All right.
Number two, it gets the Hemolog installed, operational, and we see what problems, if any, we have with it. Number three, we train their people to use it so that when the other four come in, they've got people that know how to use them.
Right.
Now, it's a unilateral gesture of absolute faith on our part. And you might say, well, you know, for what? And I'm not sure for what. I'd be a lot happier getting some little something in return.
All right.
You know, like the status of one MIA or something. Anything.
Right.
You see the idea anyhow.
All right. Yes, I do.
That's a takeoff from my earlier conversation with you when we said, what about a something for the children? Well, we thought, this is something we know they want, right?
Right.
So this is something we could move on. This is something that has a short delivery schedule. It might just have the overall effect of delaying things, though.
Okay.
Now, what about this idea, wild idea we had one time, that we would contribute to the candidate of their choice for each man released? Did you ever run that one by them, or is that too bad?
No, I've never mentioned.
To the presidential candidate of their choice.
Uh-huh.
Quietly. I mean, we wouldn't. You and I talked about this one time.
Yeah.
That's such a wild idea, I don't think they'll like it.
You know who that'd be.
Yeah, but my point is, the money's being spent in this country.
Yeah.
Look at it from that point of view. See,
right.
There's no chance the money will be converted into weapons.
That's right.
So it has that plus. All right, you talk to them about the line of credit with the money being released at the end of the war.
Right.
Men released now, money released at the end of the war.
Right.
Here's one. Right now, would they let you go in and visit the prisoners? Since this other thing is at a stop, is there any chance that you could go in and actually visit with each man?
Okay.
Then there's the problem of the Viet Cong prisoners.
Yeah.
Is there any reason that they couldn't introduce you to the key Viet Cong representatives and let you start building a relationship there? If that has to be handled as a separate matter. All right, now, I haven't come up with anything that just tickles me pink here. But I've just... Did you get these down, or do you want me to run over
them? I got them down, as you were saying them. I told you that Merv and I were going to think about this children's thing that you mentioned earlier, and this is one idea that we've had. We're not terribly excited about it either, but we know that one religious group that these people work with is the Quakers.
Yeah.
And we thought that we might contact the Quakers through the World Council of Churches here in Geneva,
mm-hmm.
and see if there was a way that we could get relief supplies, for example, to North Vietnamese children through them, and then let Up To know where it came from, kind of thing.
I think you'd be a lot smarter to do something direct. For example, if you call them up tomorrow and want to have one more meeting with them, they're sure not going to be upset or anything, right?
No.
They're going to sit down and meet.
You're right.
Our challenge is to have something meaningful at that meeting.
All right.
And I'm not sure we've got it yet, but we've got some things up on the table. Now, what do you think their attitude would be toward having you visit each prisoner in exchange for one Hemolog now?
I don't know, Ross. They were pretty... when I left this evening, they
made a policy decision.
They were finished with me for the time being. And because they're very preoccupied now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of a fly that's buzzing around. But I am sure that they would see me again if I called back, you know, to see them tomorrow. But I'm not optimistic about their letting me do any of these things.
Except the Hemolog, maybe.
Yeah, they might go for that. They might go for that. And that'd be worth a meeting just to see if they would.
Well, that certainly keeps us in the role of in a humanitarian role, because that's just a unilateral gesture at this point in time.
Yeah.
No commitment of any kind on their part.
Ross, I'm a chess player, and I know when I've got a good, solid defensive position, and we've got one of them right now. I mean, our relations with them are very good. They put us in a holding pattern, and it's not going to hurt for us to make, you know, this other gesture. And if you want me to, I'll also ask if there's some way we could help North Vietnamese children, kind of thing. But I think they've just got us over in, you know, over to the side. Then
let's do this. Y'all get a good night's sleep. I'll talk to you first thing in the morning.
Okay.
We'll see what's in the news.
Okay, very good.
Because the news could have more of an impact than anything else, right?
Yes, it could.
Some radical change in the news could cause this thing to open up in a minute.
Right.
Fine. Now let's get a good night's sleep.
Okay, Ralph.
Okay, thank you, Ralph. Okay. Let me speak to Merv just a minute.
The media and people on the street. Well, go down to Solomon Brothers and you'll find it all there. So that shows me it can be done on the street.
Yeah.
And the fascinating thing is, look at Solomon's track record in terms of performance. Now that's what, and look at Solomon's track record in terms of respect in the financial community. See, we want to be the most respected firm on the street. Solomon has, when you study Solomon, it's almost like looking at EDS. And all that did was produce tremendous profitability, a tremendous reputation. It shows that it, see, in the computer service industry, it produced a uniquely successful company, these philosophies. And it turns out on Wall Street, these same philosophies produce a uniquely successful investment banking, or a brokerage house, block trading house. So I won't buy the concept that it can't be done on Wall Street, because Solomon did it. They're not a retail house. That's the difference. We'll have to work hard, even harder, because we have so many branch operations, to make sure that all of these branches really perform to this standard. And if you go back earlier, I mentioned that I'll be getting a daily report on each branch. So we'll have people watching the octopus itself, and then we'll be watching each tentacle very carefully, too.
When do you plan to make your tour of the offices?
Whenever the management of DuPont asks me to.
I see.
Soon.
Will it be sort of a crash tour, or will you do it little by little?
Well, I'll do a crash tour, and then I'll do it both ways. I'll hit all the major offices, probably on a crash basis. That could happen very quickly. As a matter of fact, that could happen before your story's done.
Huh.
And I'd be happy to have you go with me a few days if you wanted to. Then there's so many offices, I'll have to take some of the smaller offices and just fold them in with my travel schedule. But I anticipate that very quickly I'll have an opportunity to meet personally nearly every employee in DuPont, and to tell personally to every employee in DuPont, both face-to-face and also in writing, the things that I consider so important to building the finest firm in the street. Then I'll count on them to get busy and get it done.
Incidentally, who put you on to Solomon Brothers as a model?
Well, I had dealt with Solomon Brothers personally as in buying municipal bonds, and I had always been tremendously impressed with the attention to detail, the discipline, the professionalism, the fact that there was never a loose end. Every project was gift-wrapped and buttoned down, just the way I like to see things done. So then, I visited Solomon, and some of the other fellows visited Solomon. Mort was the first, and he, after his visit to Solomon, he said, "Well, I've just seen the EDS of the brokerage business." Now, I hope that Solomon will take that as a compliment. I visited Solomon, and that assured me that the things that we think are so important do produce high morale, do produce results, do produce profit in Wall Street.
When did you visit them?
A couple of weeks ago. I've been dealing with them now for months, but always over the telephone.
Just buying municipal bonds
on
your own account?
Yes.
I gather the general partners are not going to come away with any of their capital in this situation. Is that right?
I suggest here that you get talk to Chuck Russolo, because he was a general partner, see?
Right.
Their capital was wiped out, Arthur.
Yeah.
It was gone before we got there. The unfortunate thing in all the stories that have come out so far is that nobody points out to the layman that a general partner not only can have his capital wiped out, but he can incur unlimited liability.
Right, against his personal.
Exactly. So what this plan did was protect the partners from unlimited liability, which is a very, very important thing. Now, anybody that studied our method of operation has got to conclude that hopefully every partner we have will make a tremendous contribution to the firm. As this starts to materialize, I don't think these men will have any regrets about their compensation.
Are there going to be more heads rolling in high places?
It's never our objective to have a head roll. It's always our objective to help a man improve performance where that's necessary. No, I don't anticipate that at all.
There's
short answer, I don't anticipate that.
Well, now that certain people are gone, there's nobody on borrowed time in high places.
Just Meyerson.
He's on borrowed time?
Be sure I said that, just so you'd tell him I said that.
Yeah, I'll miss that.
Yeah, be sure you mentioned that. I said, the only guy on borrowed time is Meyerson. Right. I want him back full-time at EDS.
Is that conceivable?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll measure his effectiveness. See, Mort has had just about every conceivable challenge that a man can have in business. And particularly when you consider that he's only 32.
Right.
I consider that to be the real story in the whole DuPont transaction. As a young man, 32 years of age, had the creativity, the initiative to put all this together, and now has overall responsibility for making this concept materialize, and I'll measure his effectiveness in his job by how quickly he can create this environment so well that it's no longer dependent on his presence. I don't know how long that'll take, but he's on borrowed time.
Well, you mentioned when we talked at the Waldorf that you were going to have a surveillance operation with
DuPont.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you describe that a little bit?
Well, basically, it will have a one of its objectives will be to make sure that every employee that could possibly be involved in a securities violation or New York Stock Exchange regulation violation is taught and kept fully aware of the law, and not only the letter of the law, but the spirit and the intent of the law. Then, we, with this big branch brokerage operation, our surveillance group, after teaching this, and the teaching is a never-ending process, you teach every new employee, you produce a tremendous amount of videotape explaining and discussing this for the review of the older employees. You conduct refresher seminars around the country and on and on and on and on. And then finally, you run what amounts to an audit to make, this is what I can call, you might call the enforcement aspect of the surveillance group. First is prevention. Second is enforcement. We'll keep a running audit going in all of our branch offices to make sure that these branch offices are being run in accordance with the spirit of all the regulations that are involved in the securities industry, not just the letter. For example, if you consider the regulations as a football field, we'll be playing in the center of the field, not running down the sidelines. And the objective of the surveillance group is to teach our people where the center of the field is and to make sure that they play there, and that there's never anything that could even be questioned as far as, you know, well, maybe we can get away with this type thing. That's not the way we're going to run this thing.
Is this in reaction to something? Are you aware of this sort of thing going on? Wording of the intention of the regulation?
Well, I think that dealing with a number of different people in the industry, the best firms are run this way. There are individuals who tend to go by what I'll call the letter of the law. In my judgment, the way to, since you're dealing with other people's money, you need to know the spirit, the intent, as well as the letter. Now, while operating within the letter of the law, you may never do anything illegal. Operating within the spirit of the law, you're operating an organization that's above reproach, and that's the way we want to operate.
Do you know of examples of DuPont people skirting the spirit of the law?
No, I have none in DuPont. This is just in, Arthur, you must know what I mean there as far as the, just from your own experience, the stockbrokers that are selling stock out of their own accounts, say over-the-counter stock, things like this. there are million things that can happen in a securities firm, and we want to make sure. Now, I have no reason at all to think there's been a problem like this in DuPont. I do know, though, that it's a problem in the industry. The best way for you to confirm it in your own mind is go down and talk to the SEC. Talk to the surveillance and the enforcement section down there and ask them, say, what kind of violations? Maybe they're, within the letter of the law, but they missed the spirit of the law. They'll keep you tied up all day. Or just go and say, which violations violate the law that are very difficult to come to grips with? See, I'd rather not be your source on this. I could tell you all these things. I'd rather you get that, because otherwise everybody in the street will feel like I'm criticizing the street. I got no objection at all to you putting all of it down, but I'd like for it to come from the SEC. Because the street can stand a little criticism in this area. Now, I'm just saying all this for background, I hope, but I think your story would be better balanced. But please don't tie these things as though I'm saying that they're problems at DuPont, because I have no reason to think they are.
Will these surveillance people be double as top officers, or will they be a group of their own?
Be a special group. One of them may be an officer or a partner. An officer.
They'll sort of be the MPs of DuPont.
Well, I hope they'll have a more positive image than that. I hope, we'll kind of look on them as a preventive medical. Well, I hope they'll have a more positive image than that. I hope, we'll kind of look on them as a preventive medicine center. But, they'll be responsible for first prevention and second enforcement. And anybody...
All set. I was asking you if you knew what the precise total investment would be.
Not yet.
When will you know that? 15th?
By the 23rd.
23rd.
And it may vary a little bit through the audit. It will probably take until June. I suggest you talk to Mort on this in terms of how much it might vary. Not too much.
Was any effort made to ascertain the financial health of DuPont before EDS undertook a contract with them?
Yes.
It came up positive rather than negative?
From the numbers presented to us, yes.
Yes,
we studied this very carefully.
So
we used the numbers presented to us by the management.
Yeah.
Just as you would, that's what you have to do in a business situation. We have no reason to question the accuracy of the numbers.
You just feel skeptical about...
Because...
It's a capital on it.
No, these were more than estimates. These were, you'd start from an audit and then look at the what had happened since the audit. Depends on the company.
Why was DuPont?
Mainly because of all the publicity around the brokerage industry. Before I committed men in the long-term project, I wanted to satisfy myself that it was a good, stable situation. And I was reading all the magazines that everybody else was reading. And, every cover story was the problems of the street back in 1970.
Do you have any way of putting more effective control for another, such mishap can't occur as you find yourself deeply involved with a company that's suddenly about to go under?
Yes, we can do that, Arthur. Let me just tell you what happened here, and this can't go in the arsenal.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
We were given bad numbers. I mean, if you can assume that our future clients are reasonably honest, then we won't have this problem. We were given just absolutely terribly inaccurate numbers. And
Not dishonest ones.
Between Ross and Arthur?
Yeah.
Dishonest. You bet. You talk about a guy that has a clear-cut, classic fraud case if he wanted it. We got it. In August, we got it again in December.
Who's the villain?
Well, you could figure out his last name. I don't pin me down.
Also a French name?
What says also?
You won't be associated with
him. No, that sounds like Mort's story. He's always talking about his two French friends, Thoreau and DuPont.
So was it Edmund or Latour?
Well, I've covered it with.
Well, they just wanted to unload their computers for a good price,
I guess. Well, that plus I think it was just a real, I don't know what the motives were. I shouldn't speculate about the motives.
Was there any possibility that they wanted to suck you into this thing because they knew you had the capital?
I don't think so. I have no reason to think that that's true. Well, it's a possibility, but it was never discussed.
I think it was Business Week said that they had heard that.
Well, if Business Week can find some lady selling hot dogs that'll say something, they'll say, you know, sources say. But in pinning Business Week down on some of these sources, they were just almost inane. They were people that were consultants in the computer business that had heard a rumor on the street type thing. So
you know what I'm referring to. They went to some other computer services company.
ADP.
Yeah.
And ADP gave them some incorrect information just between me and me. And again, Arthur, if you print any of this stuff, I'll spend my life in court. See, because everybody likes to sue me.
Yeah.
And I can't criticize ADP. I can't say that ADP did one thing and says they did another. So,
I won't print it. But have you run into a lot of losses?
Well, not a whole lot. On the other hand, any time a person... See, people, you can... for example, if I decided to sue you today... I could just pick something and sue you. Ludicrous, for example, I don't even know if you have a dog, but I could sue you because your dog bit me. Okay?
Right.
And you'll have to hire a lawyer and go to court and prove that not only did your dog not bite me, but you don't even have a dog. See?
Right.
Now, when the world is full of people that would like to retire from the proceeds of a lawsuit. And if you want to get right into why people like Getty and Hughes and people like that finally just kind of pull the mantle of security around them and don't want to deal with the world, I think this is one of the big reasons.
Right.
Poor
Hughes gets sued all the time anyway.
Yeah, so I just decided that I'm not going to let my personal life be affected by people that would like to get a free ride through court action. And if and when they come up, we fight every single one of them. Some of them are so ludicrous that but still you have to hire a lawyer, you have to go through all the steps. It's not a major problem.
Has anybody sued you because your dog bit them?
No, fortunately, I've got a whole bunch of dogs, and when they bother people, nobody's reacted yet. But they're just golden retrievers and collies, you know, big pets, so they're not very vicious.
Huh? I remember the retriever.
Right, so they're not much of a threat to anybody.
Well, anyway, back to business. You mentioned venture capital firm that you wanted. Venture capital arm of your firm.
Yes.
Seems to be sort of your pet project.
You bet. I want this to... See, I had the experience of having to start without any money. I know how precious seed money is to a new company because I didn't have it. I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction out of helping people with good ideas, a tremendous amount of desire and drive and capability to build a company, helping them get started.
Well, isn't it possible that you'd be worth a lot less now if you had found an angel?
Yes, but the odds, it's almost a miracle that we were able to stay in business. And that's the balance. No, my advice always will be, if when I see a young man that I think could bootstrap it, I'll always advise him to go it alone. And then if he runs dry, to come to him then. The last thing I want is to carve off a piece of the guy's company. If he can do it, and do it on his own, great. On the other hand, I wouldn't want to see his idea fail just simply because nobody would back him before he could prove that he was a success.
I think your friend Charlie Allen is quite as scrupulous about that. He likes to take a chunk even if he thinks the guy has it.
Well, based on my experiences with Mr. Allen, he certainly didn't, he's always had a deep personal interest in me. I've always felt that his interest in me as an individual was paramount. He's always been available for advice, for counsel. I can only speak from my personal experience, but it's been at the other extreme. I don't know, but I would say based on my own experience.
Well, he wanted a big chunk of EDS.
But that was at a time we were going to sell EDS to the public.
Yeah. And he wanted too much.
No. Basically, the point was that everybody else was looking to underwrite the company. And Mr. Allen was really the only pure underwriter in the place. And he says, I'll buy it. See? He was willing to buy the stock that we were going to sell to the public and hold it. And that would have been a very shrewd move on his part.
Oh,
it wouldn't have cost me a penny, though, right?
Right.
I wanted a public market. That was the difference. But the classic investment banker in a situation like that would buy the stock, put money in the company through the purchase of the stock, let the company grow and appreciate, and then sell the stock. See, Mr. Allen is, from my point of view, the classic investment banker, in that he is a true risk taker. The typical investment banking deal is not consummated until hours or sometimes even minutes before the stock is sold. There is no legal obligation until after you know the syndicate has sold the stock. Mr. Allen buys it, holds it, takes a true risk. When he's wrong, he loses money. When he's right, he makes money. But see, he's a risk. That to me, do you see the difference? He takes the risk.
Yeah, I guess I'd probably be doing him a disservice.
I think you are. Have you ever met him?
Yes, I have.
No, and he's over. In all of my being watching him deal with others and whatever, he's certainly not a person that depends, that overreaches at all, at least, that, and that kind of seemed to be the picture you have.
Yeah.
I certainly would have to disagree with that.
I've been in journalism too long, I'm getting cynical.
Well, don't get cynical. The world needs idealists.
Can you tell me how well endowed your venture capital operation will be? Any idea on that?
No, we're working on that now. You can't spend a lot of money on venture capital. Your problem, Arthur, is, say, $200,000 or $300,000 will go a long way in a little company.
Uh-huh.
Tremendous difference. Well, let's say that you come up with a ground rule that you'll put up to $200,000 in a single venture. Well, if you had $5 million... in your venture capital fund, what's that, 25 different situations? Well, you've got to send more than just your venture capital. You've got to send a lot of advice and expertise, professional help with it. It'd be very hard to manage more than 25 situations at once. Now, this is like wild setting. Your dry holes will be, there'll be some. But your potential for gain in the others more than offsets it. I don't see how we could use more than several million dollars in that fund until we build up a really terrific organization, and that'll take several years. Then we might be able to do more. See, the accountants, the legal people, the marketing people, all of the capability that needs to go with your money to help this company succeed. That can be more important than the money. So when I say investment banking, we include building up all those capabilities. And I think that's not completely unique, but that's fairly unique. A venture capital, I mean. When I say venture capital, it includes a management team concept that goes with the money. Well, you better check me there. To my knowledge, it is.
I guess I only have one more question, just a loose end. I remember when we went out and met you back in 68, you had a fellow, highly placed fellow named Tom Walter. Is he still with us?
Sure is.
What's he up to?
Tom's the vice president, director, and he's involved in the life insurance industry system.
Not involved in the
No.
Is anybody involved?
Can't put everybody in one place. I like it.
Well, your biggest investment, or rather your biggest asset right now is for your company.
And it always will be.
But you had Myerson, Hart, yourself involved with any of the other executives?
Diane got involved as the capital started changing. Bill Gayden got involved. He's vice president director of EDS. So we've had a number of people in and out. Mort is involvement is very significant. Bill Gayden's involvement is very significant. Both of them will be involved in building our brokerage industry system.
Oh, they're the F and the G, Diane.
Right.
Of PHM.
Right.
I mean, what is it now? Is it PHM or
PHM? PHM, F, and G, I believe.
It is.
Or as they say, HM, F, G, and P. That's the way, anytime more sends me a note, that's the way it comes in.
And the P
is in lowercase, right.
Well, fine. Is there anything you want to add to what you said?
Arthur, I believe that's it. I'll send you this tape. When do you want it? You want me to mail it and get it to you as soon as possible?
It would.
I'm going to label the sides 1 and 2, and that obviously side 1 is the first one we covered.
Right.
What's your address?
All right, my name, and then Fortune Magazine, Kahn and Lloyd Building.
10020. I'm going to duplicate this, and then I'll mail it. That way, if it gets lost or anything, I can duplicate another one and send it to you.
Fine.
Good to talk to you.
Same here. I'll be in touch with
whatever happened, now, Lucky's still with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just no longer works with you did she work with you? Did she work with you as a team all the time in the past, or not?
No, it was just the luck of the draw.
I see. Yeah. Do you normally still have a researcher or someone that works with you?
Yeah, although I decided on this story, I can probably work smoother on my own.
Right.
Although there will be somebody checking it.
Right. All right, I'll mail this right up to you.
Right. I'll be in touch with you on the details of the launch as that date approaches.
Great. Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you.
Right.